Good morning. Today we're going to talk about perseverance. There'll be a little overlap between what we talked about last time, where we talked about God taking us out of the pit and the need to be patient and look to the Lord. So there'll be a little, some part of this will be a review of that, and part of it will be some different material. But I checked my notes. I haven't actually taught this particular teaching for almost exactly 10 years. So I imagine it'll be pretty new. Here we go in Lamentations 3 and verse 22. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. This is the period when the Babylonians have overrun Jerusalem, destroyed the city, destroyed the temple, and they are lamenting, they are grieving, they are upset about how bad things are, way, way worse than our pandemic. This pandemic we have is pretty serious, but nothing like an enemy army coming in and destroying the city and taking most of the people away captive to another land. Nothing like that. So they had it much, much worse than anything we're going through. And here in Lamentations 3 and verse 22, we read, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not." God's compassions, his loving kindness, his faithful love, they do not fail. They, verse 23, God's compassions are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. You know, people, if there's a big business deal going on, people want to get their piece of the action, their portion. Well, our portion is the Lord. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. All of our positive expectations are faced towards the Lord, because he's the one that can take care of us. Verse 25, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him. And this word is that word, Hebrew word kawah, that means to wait with expectation. Those that wait for the Lord, expecting him to bless them. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation or the deliverance of the Lord. That's a good thing. Sometimes it's good to run around and do stuff, but a lot of times all we can do is sit and pray and have a positive expectation, hope, believing that God will come through for us and deliver us. That's what we have to do. We have to persevere. Psalm 37, 7. Here we go to Psalm 37 and verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. That's what we do. We rest in the Lord. We just patiently wait for him. He's going to come through for us. Rest in the Lord, verse 7, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Don't worry about some evil person that's doing bad stuff and prospering. Just rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. What's it say somewhere? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You don't have to feel like we have to roam the earth being vigilantes, stomping out evil. We simply have to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Psalm 40 in verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He leaned over and listened and heard what we said. That's what he does. You wait patiently for him. You expect him to bless you. He'll lean over so he can hear your prayer, and he'll hear your cry, and he'll bring deliverance. Let's take a look at Luke 8, verse 14. Luke 8, actually verse 4. Luke 8, verse 4. Parable of the sower. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. And here in Luke 8, verse 5, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down. And the fowls of the earth, the air, devoured it. And some fell on a rock. And as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Another fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he said, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground, now this is the one we want to focus on, the seed that fell on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience, or with steadfast perseverance, or by persevering. They have steadfast perseverance. They hear the word, and they stick with it. They continue to read the word. They continue to meditate on it. They continue to pray. They continue to expect God to bless them. And when the door opens, they reach out and share that word with others to bless them. What a great thing. They bring forth fruit with patience, or by persevering, steadfast perseverance. Here's another great one, Luke 18. Talk about persevering. The story of this widow is amazing. Luke 18, verse 1. Here we are, Luke 18, verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? So the point of the parable is not that God's an unjust judge, but that if even an unjust judge will grant a petition, if somebody persists, like that widow woman did, how much more will God, our Heavenly Father, when we persist in prayer, how much more will he give us what we need and what we ask for? So we simply have to persevere. We can't just pray once for 3 seconds and forget about it for 2 years. We have to continue to pray. We have to continue to trust God. We have to continue to persevere and expecting him to bless us. And as we do, he comes through. So let's go on to the next one. Luke 21. In Luke 21 and verse 15. Luke 21, 15. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all of your adversaries... Luke 21, 15. It's supposed to say, In your patience possess ye your souls. I must have my notes wrong. These notes are 10 years old. Any rate, somewhere it says, In your patience possess ye your souls. I'll correct it in the notes, Brian, so whoever listens to this on the website can look at the notes. In your patience possess ye your souls. In the New American Standard Bible, it says, by your endurance you will gain your lives. In your patience, your perseverance, your looking to God, trusting God, that's how you're going to get through. And of course, we are in sort of a trying time in the world right now with this pandemic. We always have challenges. We just have a slightly bigger, slightly different one than we have normally. But the thing to do is patiently trust God to come through for us. So far, he's gotten us food and shelter and protection from the virus, and we're doing great. And we're just going to keep praying and expecting that. And we're going to be looking to God and listening to him and trying to walk with him and expecting his blessing. In Acts 1, verse 14, here we are right after the ascension of Jesus Christ, before this Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, talking about followers of Jesus Christ. In Acts 1:14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So when it says these all continued, it can also be translated they were continually devoting themselves. It can also be translated they persevered and not fainted, or they showed oneself courageous for it. We have to persevere in prayer. We have to not faint. We have to show ourselves courageous for it. I still often think about all the things people want to be courageous about. Obviously, in warfare, soldiers have to be courageous. In sports, where they're fighting and, you know, furiously trying to, you know, perform the very best they can to win their sporting event, they have to persevere. Salesmen are taught to persevere and not take no for an answer until they sell whatever they're selling. And those are all good areas to persevere in. There's probably many, many others. But how about to show oneself courageous for in prayer, in asking God for things, in looking to him with expectation? That takes courage also, because it's easy to cave in and say, oh, nobody cares about me. God doesn't care about me. Doesn't matter. That's the easy way out. The way you have to be courageous and what you have to persevere in is continuing to pray in supplication. So these all continued. They persevered. They showed themselves courageous in prayer and supplications. Again, prayer is general requests. Supplication is specific requests. We need both. We need to pray for God to supply your needs, and then you may have something specific you want to pray for. You need a new tire on your car, or you need to find toilet paper, which is a big deal in this economy. You can pray for specific things, and God will come through for you tremendously and abundantly. Now, look at Acts 2, verse 42. Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That can be also translated, they continually devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine. They persevered. So they continually persevered in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. So they stuck with the word. They stuck with being together and encouraging other. They stuck with eating together, and they stuck with praying. Those are the things they stuck with. They persevered. They continually devoted themselves to those things. They just didn't do it a little bit, but they stayed with it. And anybody who's ever done anything very much knows that it takes perseverance. There was a great book by Malcolm Gladstone came out, 10, 20 years ago. It's called Outliers. Started by looking at certain groups that for some unknown reason did better than other groups. And they tried to look at the age or the demographics or the location they were. And it really wasn't any of those things. What he found from his interviewing many, many people and looking at many, many different fields of endeavor, everything from computer programming to competitive wrestling to, being a virtuoso musician and in other fields, he found that people had spent, I think it was 10,000 hours doing something. That's a lot, because a normal full-time job working 40 hours a week is about 2,000 hours a year. So 10,000 hours would be like doing something full-time for 5 years. He found that people that were really good had done whatever they did for 10,000 years. Not 10,000 years, 10,000 hours, which meant they often started very young, and they often had the advantage of having a coach or a tutor or a mentor or certain facilities available that other people didn't have. And then if they stayed with it for 10,000 hours, they got really, really good and stood head and shoulders above everybody else in the field who'd only done a little bit. Like he gave the example of musicians. If somebody's practiced maybe 2,000 hours, they're probably a very good high school music teacher. If they practiced maybe 4,000 hours, they're probably good to have a seat in the community symphony. But if you want to get a virtuoso who does, solos at Carnegie Hall, that person has probably practiced 10,000 hours. That's how they got that good. And like I said, he did it in many areas. Now, that's just one study, but how interesting that is in light of what we're reading here, that we're encouraged to persevere in prayer, persevere in the doctrine of the apostles, persevere in fellowship, persevere in breaking of bread. Just don't give up. Stay with it, because that's how you not only get good, but that's how you get results, and that's how you get confident in God. Now, Romans 5. Another favorite one we go to from time to time. Romans 5, verse 3. And not only so, well, let's back up a little bit. Yeah, no, verse 3. Now let's go back to verse 1. We'll get to verse 3 to 5 soon enough. Romans 5, 1. Therefore, being justified or made righteous by faith, by believing, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith, by believing, into this grace, this divine favor wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, which are challenges, mental pressures also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, experience hope. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And I know we've looked at this recently in fellowship, but today I'm going to read you the J.B. Phillips translation. J.B. Phillips was a guy, I think he was around World War I. He wanted to have a translation that the soldiers in the trenches could read and understand easily. So he, a British fellow, so he came up with his translation, which is often very insightful. So these verses 3 to 5 in J.B. Phillips reads as follows. This doesn't mean, of course, that we have only a hope of future joys. We can be full of joy here and now, even in our trials and troubles. Taken in the right spirit, these very things will give us a patient endurance. This, in turn, will develop a mature character. And a character of this sort produces a steady hope, a hope that will never disappoint us. I'll read that again. This doesn't mean, of course, that we have only a hope of future joys. We can be full of joy here and now, even in our trials and troubles. Taken in the right spirit, these very things will give us a patient endurance. This, in turn, will develop a mature character, and a character of this sort produces a steady hope, a hope that will never disappoint us. And then in Romans 12, verse 10, here we go. Romans 12, verse 10. Another popular section that we like to read. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, and honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business or lazy. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Verse 13. Rejoicing in hope, patient in mental pressure or tribulation. Again, which can be continuing steadfast in mental pressure, faithful. And then we get to continuing instant in prayer, can be to persevere and not to faint, to show oneself courageous for, as we read before. That's our continuing instant in prayer. We just persevere in it. We persevere. And that's a great thing to do this week. When we run across challenges, when we have discomfort or apprehension or a little bit of fear or worry about the future, we just have to continue instant in prayer. We have to persevere in prayer. Show ourselves courageous in prayer. Don't faint in prayer. Just stay with it. And after a while, your brain gets your thoughts, I don't know if rewired is the right word, but redirected to where the natural impulse is to pray. I, like many people, I have many friends and business associates and people that I stay in touch with during this time of quarantine, and some people have the absolute positive attitude. They're so positive, I sometimes get concerned they won't be cautious when they go out. I'm all for being positive, but I'm also very cautious when I get around other people. But then I know other people that, you know, even though they're healthy and safe and have food, they're just upset about not being able to go about their daily things and events they were planning that were canceled, and it bums them out. And I think, my goodness, what an attitude. Because as we all know, in every situation, you can have like what the sort of common term people use, have the glass half full attitude, that you're glad for what you have. Even though you don't have everything you want, you got half of it, and that's a lot more than a lot of people have. Or the glass half empty, where even though you have half, you get upset about the half you don't have. Well, I think we should be glad for the half of our lives we still have, and pray that God will get us the rest. And never have the attitude of being negative or worried about the things we don't have. But be thankful for what we have and keep praying for God to provide the rest over time. So it's interesting. We show ourselves courageous to be instant in prayer. Distributing, verse 13, to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. How wonderful. Well, let's see what else we have in our notes here. One more. Here we go, in Ephesians chapter 6. One more to wrap up. Ephesians chapter 6. And verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. As we speak in tongues, we ask God to take care of us. We ask for specific things, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So we watch. We're on the alert. That's why it's great we have a prayer night on Wednesdays. That's great. It's good we pray during our Sunday morning fellowship. It's good we all pray every day about everything. We read the Bible. We pray for our loved ones, the ones God puts on our hearts. As people come to your mind during the day, rather than be worried about them or worried for them, just pray for them. And so many times God will bring somebody to mind, and it's just a chance for you to pray for them. And don't get all nervous and melodramatic about it. Just say, oh, God wants me to pray for him. I'll pray. So we watch or be on the alert with all perseverance. So let's read verse 18 again. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So you can't pray for every believer in the world one by one, mostly because we don't know them all. The other is because we don't have the time and energy. But you can sort of pray for them as a group. And then as you speak in tongues, God knows where the needs are. And he'll give you the words to take care of those most in need. So Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love, your kindness, for these wonderful, wonderful saints, for their love for you, for their perseverance and determination to trust you, to believe your word, to pray for one another. I pray that we all get through this challenging period in our world's history, and that we come out stronger, more alert, and more confident than you than ever. And if it's possible to get our old life back exactly the way it was, great. If not, we know you'll have something better for us with different circumstances and slight changes to our lifestyle, which may be different, but we'll just trust you that they'll end up being wonderful and enable us to live your word, speak your word, and rejoice in your goodness every day. Thank you for this, for our loved ones, for the many saints we know and love, and may we just continue to trust you and look to you in all we do. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, amen.